You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It's Friday, March 24th, 2017, and this is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Matty Mo, Dika dressed up nicely today, here on a Friday, Tout Wars in the house today. We're going to kick it off 9 a.m. Eastern. Thanks to Matt Modica. A little guest in the house, Modica.
Yeah, we got Roto-Gut Vlad Sedler joining us today. So very excited about that.
How about that? 9 a.m. Eastern hour. He's going to hang out, play a little Ismay Lion with us at 9:30. You know who the champ of that is, Corey?
Me?
No, me.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So it's Tout Wars weekend here, NFBC weekend. A lot of fantasy baseball going on, but that's not all, of course. We had an awesome Sweet 16 last night. Very, very fun stuff there. And that, of course, continues tonight with the main event being Kentucky-UCLA. You are not going to want to miss that one. What is going on, Matt? Good morning.
Good morning. Yesterday, I received another number one pick in the NFBC.
Wow, that's three?
That's three out of four.
So did you have Mookie Betts with that one?
No, I'll probably be going Trout or Kershaw in that one. I'll see how the weekend goes, and then we'll base it off of that.
Matt, wow. Are you doing your KDS, or are you just letting it sit from 1 to 15?
No, I'm doing the KDS, but I usually do like...
What is KDS?
Oh, that's like Kentucky Derby style, so you get...
How is somebody supposed to understand that?
Really, you don't think people know that?
I didn't!
I don't know. I thought people knew that.
What is KDS, seriously?
In the NFBC, it allows you to pick your preferences. You're not guaranteed to get them. But, like, I put 1, 2, 7, 8, 9, and then 15 on down. So I just keep getting number one. So I got three number ones and a number seven so far this week.
So now, wait. So there's 15 teams, right?
That's correct.
So you chose 1 and 2 as your top two picks. So this is when you pick your slot. That's what Kentucky Derby style. I didn't know it was called Kentucky Derby style.
Yeah, because that's what I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do it.
Okay, so you chose 1, 2. Then why, 7, 8, 9 is in the middle? Is that why?
Yeah, I like the 7, 8, 9 range. Pretty much there's a top 7. I think Harper's going to get pushed up this weekend, but Machado and Harper have been going 8, 9. So, I mean, I'm fine with the 9th pick. I mean, if at worst I walked away with Manny Machado in the first round, that's a no-brainer for me.
And then the 7-8, also that middle, the middle of the draft keeps you focused, keeps you on the clock. Picks are always coming right back to you, not to mention the fact when you're in the middle of a draft, you never get caught on the back end of a run. So say the closing run starts, you know, say you're 15 and the closing run starts, everything can get ate up by the time it comes back to you. In the middle, you're never at the mercy of a run. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I love the middle. We've talked about that before, how ideally, I mean, if I'm like getting first pick in the draft, I want to be in the middle just so I don't get caught in any run.
Yeah, I kind of prefer the ends, either first or 15. I do enjoy having that double pick. I know I need to jump players at time. Of course, as Corey stated, if that run goes, you know, I'm going to be left out or get the bottom of the barrel. So, and I'm not opposed to being aggressive with players. I mean, there's an NFBC ADP. I have my own ADP. I will use it as a market gauge only. But if there's a guy I want, I have no problem jumping him.
Are you creating your own ADP based on the draft shift you've been in? Is that, or you just have your own rankings in your mind?
I mean, honestly, I pretty much know the draft board pretty well, where the guys are going. So once I know where I'm picking from, I have a strategy. I have, like, you know, as I mentioned the other day, I have at least 3 to 5 guys in that range. So if my guy's not there, I'm not, like, panicking. Like, what am I going to do? Who's my backup? So it's pretty much the first 5 or 6 rounds. I have that strategy mapped out, and then from there we go with, like, best players and things that will fit the team that I'm constructing at the time.
Corey, good morning to you too.
Yo, what's your deal? What's going on, Greg?
You gotta save that voice, man.
It's gonna be, you're gonna hear a lot of the tunes of the fantasy executive today.
A lot. So, well, why don't you give us a breakdown today?
So what are we doing? We're doing 3 hours of radio now at Roto Experts in old school. Then we'll come back for the news desk at some point. Then we got Wise Guy Baseball live from Tout Wars with Gene McCaffrey and Mike Lombardo. And then we come back for a special Tout Wars edition of Shot Callers tonight with myself and you, Greg Sussman.
I'm back. So, we're back.
A lot going on today, a lot of radio. Hear a lot from the fantasy executive. Then, of course, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll lead you right up into the first nomination of the Tout Wars Mixed League auction. So it's going to be a cool weekend. But, you know, like you said, my voice needs to be prepared to deliver entertainment and information in a so effervescently smooth style to the Roto listeners across the land.
Yeah, I tried staying in last night and being a good boy.
Couldn't do it.
But I got some peer pressure from the man known as the mayor in the NFBC, NFC land, Andy Saxton. He's like, come on, I only come to town twice a year. So I walked on over to the Irish pub, and I only stayed an hour, and I was heading back, and then Vlad texted me, who I had invited to come over, and he was on his way, so I walked back into the bar.
Is Andy going to get a chance to get over here this weekend?
We could see. I mean, he's doing an auction in less than an hour.
I know.
Yeah. So, but I'll definitely tell you, he definitely did want to come in. So I'll definitely have him hook up with you.
I got to get Dave Taylor in here too.
Dave Taylor's a former wrestler as well.
He owes me.
He's trying. Yeah.
Dave Taylor owes me.
I'm not understanding what the joke is, so I'll move on.
It's
whatever.
It's not really whatever.
Yeah, you should really go into.
All right, so let's elaborate that. I don't want to gloss over it.
Myself and Brian Ambos, our team in the NFBC Auction Championship last year, started making this push probably in about May. Mid-May, early June, started making this push. And as we went through the summer, we put ourselves in position where we were sitting pretty number one overall in the league.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And it was number one overall.
In the overall.
It was number one in the league.
It was like 28,000 something?
Yeah, it had been a nice takedown. It had been a nice double-digit takedown. We'd have won the league. We'd have won the overall. It had been like 30-something thousand dollars. You know what I'm saying? And Dave Taylor Steven Strasburg had a blow up one night, and Dave Taylor in Colorado, Strasburg blew. I was with Brian the night it happened.
Yeah, I remember talking to Brian. I would have started Strasburg too there. I believe it was
the day of the FNTSY Cup.
It was the cup.
It was the day of the FNTSY Cup. And Strasburg had this blow up in Colorado, and the next thing you know, Dave Taylor just mounts this tremendous comeback. Overtakes the lead and like in the last 10 days of the season, took the lead that Brian had held all season long and just about all season long, and he ended up walking away with the big prize, and that's why I said he owes me.
What does he owe you for? You lost. What does he owe you?
Well, we were winning the whole way.
But then you lost. So what does he owe you for?
I mean, you take one bad outing from Steven Strasburg, it kind of trickle down from there.
Okay. Well, I'm still not understanding.
Well, Greg, I'm making a joke, Greg.
So why? So like I said, it really wasn't a big deal. Like, you know, he just beat you.
$35,000 is a big deal.
But he
Greg.
Beat you fair and square. He doesn't owe you crap.
No, he did beat fair. You don't get it, Greg.
What was crazy though in that league? I was in the league as well. And I was battling Tony for third, and then Tony got Gary Sanchez and ran away with that. But Taylor and the combination of Ambos and Parson finished 1-2 overall, and this was the same league.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. It was a powerhouse 15 player league.
Yep, it was, and the band is getting back together tomorrow evening. So busy weekend. A lot of baseball drafts, a lot of rotisserie auctions and stuff going on. Of course, my fellow touts are arriving in town. My guy Dr. Roto should be checking in any minute now. So, you know, hopefully at some point today he'll step down and grace us with his presence. So, big time weekend going on right here, Studio 34, live in New York City. And then we got my brethren from South Carolina will also be in the building today.
Who?
My Gamecocks.
Oh, the Gamecocks will be in the house. That's right. Because they play across the street
today.
They're
playing across the street today.
Frank Martin's been here for a little while. I made the rounds yesterday radio-wise. Saw that.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
okay.
Frank Martin was everywhere yesterday. It's crazy that from there you'll get either South Carolina, Baylor, Wisconsin, or Florida going to the Final Four off top left. And then bottom left, you got either Gonzaga or Xavier after last night, just as we predicted, Matt.
Yeah, no, it was a fun night. I got to watch some of the games over at the bar, and I thought Michigan was going to do it, but, you know, the book always wins. That 1.5-point spread, being a favorite, was the only reason why I was really pulling for Oregon, because I figured, you know, book's just too smart. But didn't that guy get fouled, though, on the previous one? It looked like he kind of...
In the Michigan-Oregon, on
the previous possession?
I didn't think so. Now, it's interesting because you heard after the game, Dana Altman, coach of Oregon, saying he was screaming at his guys to just foul Michigan because they had fouls to give. So just foul them, waist high, make them reset the plays. And you know what? I saw Jake Seeley was killing Michigan on Twitter and Derek Walton. I totally disagree with him because he had an open shot. Yeah, he crossed them over, had a perfect step back, a wide open three. This is Michigan's game all year. Their best player, senior leadership, a wide open look to send them to the Elite Eight. And he missed it.
Yeah, he did have the look. Also last night, Jake Seeley was also killing on Twitter, the Doubletree and Hotels.com. He had a room issue.
So I've actually gotten an update on that.
Oh, okay, good.
So I know Jake and a bunch of guys are supposed to stay at Doubletree across the street. I don't actually know where. I was going to say across the street, but I don't know that it's across the street.
Man, be careful with the location of the touts. Big time celebrity guys. You just don't want people rolling up to that. You know, can you imagine how many groupies are going to be in the Tout Wars hotel lobby? So we don't want everybody to know the location.
Yeah, okay. Nevertheless. So Jake had an issue with his hotel.
Oh my God, it's Lenny Melnick!
is he this
Yeah, I'm quite. Lenny's in town already.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jake they had an issue with the hotel. Like, they booked a room that had like two queen size beds, pull out couch, whole deal, and they called to confirm, and there was like just two twin beds, no couch, not nothing. And he was furious because, you know, he couldn't sleep in a twin bed with one of the other guys because it wasn't big enough, and they're all upset. And Jake was originally staying with me actually tonight, and then this room situation got screwed up, so he called me back. He's like, "Hey, is it cool if I crash?" I'm like, "Yeah, like I'm going to dinner after the show tonight, but like, you know, you need a place to stay. Like, I'll make sure. No problem." So he just texted me saying, "Quote, I gave them enough grief. They gave us a second room. We're good to go. Thanks again. Really appreciate it." So Jake Seeley will have some order to stay tonight.
All right, good. So Jake is taken care of. Jake's good to go.
That's good to hear.
Let's take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk more about the March Madness from last night, because Xavier, Arizona was fantastic. Kansas, Purdue was not so fantastic. And then Gonzaga, West Virginia came down all the way to the end as well. We'll break down March Madness here. We'll preview the tonight's Sweet 16 games as well. So a little March Madness talk. Then, of course, a lot of baseball to get to. We got 9 o'clock hour. Is Mike Lyon coming up? Vlad will join us. He's in Tout Wars tonight against the aforementioned Jake Seeley. So all of that coming your way over the next 2 hours here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. NCAA tournament was in full swing. It's funny, because I remember after the first couple of days of the tournament, everyone's just like, "Where are the good games? Where are the good games? There's no buzzer beater." Now I'm getting a text message, "This is the best tournament ever!" And I'm like, dude, like the last 2 days were amazing, like yesterday and last Sunday. But other than that, like, it's been a fine tournament. Like, no overtimes, no buzzer beaters, none of that. It's been a good, but like we say this every year, the tournament's the best.
You know, it did start off slow, like everybody's expectations. You want to see that Cinderella story in the first 2 days. But we've gotten it, like you said.
Xavier.
Yeah, no, Xavier, I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, what they did last night, what their run so far is damn impressive. I mean, I kind of felt bad for, like, West Virginia last night. They played very well. But, I mean, Michigan, I guess everybody thought was the team of destiny. That was kind of like the narrative. But I'm looking forward to tonight's game with UCLA and Kentucky. And if you did you see the clip list yesterday of LeVar Ball
and Stephen A. Smith?
Yeah. They're talking about how he could beat Jordan one on one. He's undefeated one on one.
I love LeVar Ball.
I know you do.
I love LeVar Ball.
I know, well, you know what? I mean, the fact that he got on First Take yesterday with Stephen A. Like,
he won.
He won.
He won.
And they know it. He knows it. ESPN, everyone knows it. He won 100%. Nevertheless, getting back to last night's games, Xavier, who over the last month of the season couldn't beat anybody but DePaul, now one game away from the Final Four. They lost without, their best player. Now one game away from the Final
Four. It's crazy. Like you said, a month ago, they looked toast.
Done.
They were absolute toast. They lost their best player. We're in the middle of a losing streak. If not mistaken, they were a 2 seed last year, right?
Were they a 2 seed?
And then they might have been a 2 seed last year. They were probably highly seeded last year. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, here it goes again. You get a team that's just gutting it out, getting right at the hot time. A lot of these teams are not built for the regular season. They're built for the tournament. Obviously, conference play being very important. But now they're coming together at the right time. And great performance by Xavier last night in a revenge game.
In a revenge game, as you said. Yep. And Chris Mack out-coaches Sean Miller last night. Do you think Chris Mack will stay at Xavier now, or is the Indiana job his, Corey Parson?
I don't know. That's going to be intriguing to see. I've seen a couple different names floated around for that Indiana gig. I forgot what the latest one I saw. I saw an interesting one the other day. But I don't know. He could be a guy that would be in the mix and in the running, so it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, didn't Xavier need like those two Big East wins to kind of help them get in?
You know what? To solidify. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're an 11 seed here. So they were one of the last 6 teams in the tournament. Sure, absolutely.
They were the last team. No, they were the last team.
No, they weren't the last team because the last team plays the play-in games.
No, they were the last team called.
But that doesn't mean they're the last team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. But on the selection, Maryland and Xavier, the last two teams called. Believe me, Corey, I know that.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah.
You know, just got a little nervous there. Yeah, so they were the last team called. So Xavier's in there. And then Gonzaga, West Virginia last night, really, really good game. It was a rugged game, as it always tends to be with West Virginia. Playing the hardcore press, great defense all around. There were some missed foul calls at the end of that game, I thought. Bob Huggins lost his mind there. Nevertheless, Gonzaga able to get by. And now either Chris Mack, Mark Few, one of these two guys from Xavier or Gonzaga are going to their first Final Four.
I'm kind of rooting for Gonzaga. It's just, you know, it's a team that's always seemed close to get there and fall short. So, I mean, Xavier's a great story, but I want to see the Zags get to the Final Four and try and do some damage.
This is a great message from a buddy who just told me that the story of Xavier here, who I guess they talked about last night, that at the end of February, given what had happened with their best player, given what had, you know, this losing streak, as Corey mentioned, they've been on, Chris Mack handed out calendar of the month of February to all of them with a record of every game, what had happened, when it had happened, and he handed out the calendars to each player and had them write something on the back of the calendars privately to themselves that they're willing to sacrifice. And they wrote it all down on the back of these February calendars, and they all threw it in a garbage can and burned them. They burned it. They put the ashes in an urn and said, all right, here's what we're sacrificing. Mother February is gone. Now we turn the page to March. Let's do it. And here we are. Sweet 16, Elite 8.
All right, I went with some voodoo magic, little juju.
Yep.
Kind of like it.
Should we do that to help our...
What the hell are we going to burn, Grant? What are we going to burn?
We're going to burn last year's losing fantasy baseball teams. We'll print out rosters.
Well, that makes sense.
That was better than you expected it to be, weren't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That makes sense. We can burn that. That's why I wanted Dave to come. Let me email him.
Yeah, well, in the high stakes arena,
he's not going to burn it. He's going to put in a frame it, probably.
Yeah.
Well, it's like burning money sometimes, you know. Like, I think Corey was kind of banking on that 35 G's. He watched that go up in smoke, you know.
Is that 35 G's each?
No.
Okay, split.
Yeah,
but that would have bought some braces, you know.
Braces, Jordans, you know what I'm saying? It would have been nothing left for me when it was all said and done. I'm like, damn, these kids went through everything. But still.
But you would have been able to have an entry for next year. You probably would have had that.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have had that, and then, you know, everybody's teeth would have been straight. My kids, Dave Taylor, my kids walking around with crooked teeth because of you.
Can't take a damn family portrait.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he was not allowed in that family portrait. All right, so Gonzaga, Xavier on that left side. Top right side, we talked about Michigan, Oregon just a moment ago. Back and forth game. You're kind of just waiting for all Michigan's threes to start dropping. And like Wagner, who couldn't miss against Louisville, didn't really do much of anything last night. And then the senior Derek Walton, who was so involved in that first half. The second half, things weren't falling as much. And they said back and forth game. Michigan was up a little bit. And like, all of a sudden, you looked up and like, holy crap, there's 5 minutes left in this game. And it's a great back and forth game. Oregon able to pull it out. And now they will take on Kansas, who was just too much for Purdue to handle.
Yeah, the Kansas game was interesting because when I was at the bar, it was like a tie game or it was like close. And next thing I knew, the Wings came and I got kind of involved with that. And then I looked up and Kansas like ran away. So, I mean, Kansas is going to the Final Four. I don't see them getting stopped.
Yeah. Well, the only chance will be Oregon at this point. One more game Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that Oregon-Michigan game was a great watch, but I just think Kansas is too tough for them. And, you know, maybe they go all the way and take it all down at this point.
Let's go to tonight. We've talked a lot about UCLA and Kentucky. LeVar Ball, that is, of course, the main event, the match. Matchup we've been looking forward to since the brackets came out. So then on the other side, or right on top of it, I should say, the game before the first game in the Southern region tonight, that would be North Carolina taking on the Butler Bulldogs. Carolina, of course, in the championship game last year, fell to Villanova. Nova out. North Carolina trying to get back. They got to face a tough Butler team tonight, Corey.
Yeah, the Butler Bulldog is no slouch. They always come to play. Very, very well coached bunch right there, gritty and hard nosed on defense. Butler's the type of team that if they were in a different region, you would really like them off the year that they're coming off of. But they are not in this different region, so they have a monster matchup tonight against the Tar Heels. I think it's a tough game, but I think the Tar Heels do prevail.
I'll be rooting for the Bulldogs tonight. I'm going to root for Butler.
Come on,
I want to see the, you got to root for a little guy. I'll be rooting for UCLA, though.
UCLA's a little guy, too.
Kentucky's a little guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Hey, you still in the one and done pool? Did you forget to make a pick yesterday?
Oh, Lord. I forgot to make a pick yesterday.
So now you're out.
Yeah. I was doing all right, too.
Well, you're still in it, which is impressive.
Who would I have picked last night?
Probably Oregon. Maybe. I don't know. Who would you pick? You might have picked Arizona over Xavier.
I would have picked Arizona. Yep.
All right.
I'd have picked Zona last night because I'd have been scared of Michigan. I'd have picked Zona.
You're right. Zona.
So I'd have, all right, good. I'm done anyway.
Oh, man.
The goal is to go 10-0.
The goal is to tell you make money.
Yeah, exactly. There we go again. You know, everybody taking away from my children.
No, you took away from your children. You didn't enter a pick.
Yeah, it was my fault.
You're going to blame Dave Taylor for that, too.
We had a busy day over here yesterday.
We did.
Yeah,
it was a good day. It was fun.
A lot of fun. A lot of cool stuff happening. A lot of good stuff going down. So, and a big time weekend. So I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, so how about Bill Murray, man? Right? Like, Cubs fan on the field when they win. Now his kid plays for Xavier. Huge Xavier fan. He's just having a nice little tournament here. All right, across the street at the Garden, there's open practice yesterday. I know some of our guys went, Corey. Open practice yesterday. We got Wisconsin and Florida as your main event at the Garden tonight. But the first game, the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Cox.
Facing off against the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, South Carolina, obviously, big time. Well, not a big time story, but obviously a nice story going on right now. They got to be the heavy favorite in a nice route tonight. They took down the evil Duke Blue Devils, so it's good to get the hometown crew, the Palmetto State, up in NYC for the big weekend. So now, it's going to be hard for South Carolina to get this done, though.
They could beat Baylor. Hmm? You think they could beat Baylor?
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I think Baylor is tough.
Doesn't do it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Cox tonight.
Yep. I think Baylor's tough. I think Baylor, I'm rooting for them too. I've been on their campus.
I know you have.
Had a lot of fun times on their campus.
I know.
You know, do you know that's where they filmed the program at?
I do not.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know.
Yep. So I want them to do well. Obviously, being the school on the other side of town, when I was in college, we used to go out there and hang out and chill, whatever. Had a nice couple of nice co-eds from over there, so I always keep an eye on the Gamecocks. And now they come in here with a tough situation. This Baylor team is tough, and Baylor's another one of these gritty teams coming out the South. What conference is Baylor in?
Big 12.
Yeah, coming out the Big 12. They're tough.
Do you think
the Baylor Bears?
Do you think the bright lights will hurt South Carolina here at Madison Square Garden?
I could see them having a little stage fright. You know what I mean?
Sweet 16 at the Garden.
Sweet 16 at Madison Square Garden. Haven't had NCAA regional action at Madison Square Garden in years.
A couple years.
It's no yes. When?
Last time UConn won the championship was Shabazz Napier. It was here.
No, Greg. No,
yes,
it was not.
Yes, Corey, it was. I promise you.
I'm almost certain it was.
Before that,
Greg
is
he's the foremost.
I promise you.
He's the tourney guy.
It was here. I have a friend that went.
I feel like I want to bet you on this one.
Let's bet me.
Bets. I like this.
Let's do it.
Last time NCAA.
Yeah, we'll wait until you find out. Corey, when you're wrong, I want you to be like, I'm wrong. The fantasy executive was incorrect, and Greg was right. Wow, I just realized Modica's nice shirt was an Under Armour, a little Under Armour, was it a button down or a collar shirt? That is cool.
Little golf shirt.
I like that.
I haven't golfed in like 10 years, but it's a golf
shirt.
That's
a nice golf shirt. Corey, how's that Google search going?
I'm going through it right now, Greg. You continue to entertain. Okay. I'll look this up right here.
Yeah, you just
I'm almost certain that this did not happen. Did you ever know? I never knew they played at the Cap Center. Look at that, back in Landover, Maryland.
It's a long time ago.
I lived in one of the apartments I lived in was where the Cap Center used to be. All right, Madison Square Garden. Last time it was in Madison Square Garden, New York, was 2014. You were right, Greg.
Who was incorrect?
The fantasy executive was incorrect.
I told you not to go against him.
Thank you.
I didn't say that.
Thank you. Fantasy
I did not know this.
Yeah.
But what do you think? I got South Carolina and Wisconsin.
So that's a really interesting game is Wisconsin and Florida. Florida plays very, very good defense. Now, Wisconsin, battle-tested, man. Ethan Hapgood in the center and Bronson Koenig, a senior. No one's played like Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig. This will be their 150th game of their college careers at Wisconsin. I mean, that's a lot of games at one school. Unbelievable. I think it's going to be a really good game. I also like Wisconsin in this one. I think Florida's a point favorite, I want to say. But I also like Wisconsin in this school. Go with the Big Ten. It's my conference.
I got to go with Wisconsin, too. I think Wisconsin's a little bit too tough. We look at them as a team that were misseeded. Now, success breeds confidence. They got the big win over Nova. So, there you go right there. It is what it is. I know people that run Madison Square Garden like, we were supposed to have
Duke.
Villanova on Sunday night. Uh-huh. Crazy.
So, Wisconsin opened as 2-point dogs. It's down to 1.5 most places. And then South Carolina opened as 3.5-point dogs, and that line has stayed the same. So, you got Baylor by 3.5, Baylor by 3.5, Florida by 1.5. UCLA, Kentucky, as it should be, is a pick 'em game.
Pick 'em, right?
As it should be.
But North Carolina is a 2-point favorite?
And North Carolina is a 7.5-point favorite.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. 7.5-point favorite in that
Take
one.
The points.
By the way, I was talking about Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig being at Wisconsin forever, playing 150 games. Did you see his kid, Ennis, on Oregon last night? He's a point guard. He got a little blonde, like the little blonde in his hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dennis Schroeder. His younger brother, Tyler Ennis, played for Syracuse.
Yep.
Drafted first round. That's his younger brother. I want to make that clear.
Crazy,
his
right?
His younger brother. So this kid went somewhere to school, transferred to Villanova, transferred to Oregon. Do you know how old he is?
How old?
How old do you think he is?
18? No, the older.
The guy played last night, little blonde in his hair. Tyler Ennis is his older brother.
He played... What schools?
He played at Villanova. He played one other place. I forget. It's a smaller school. Then they went to Villanova. Then now at Oregon.
24?
24. How old do you think
he is? I was going to say 24, so I'll say 25.
25 years old.
That's crazy.
He's the oldest player in the nation. Yeah. 25. He's a man. He's playing his 18-year-old kids.
Yeah.
He's 25 years old.
He's a ringer.
He is.
He's a ringer.
He looks old, too.
He looks old for 25, Greg.
Well, yeah. Not like Perry Ellis. Perry Ellis is balding.
Bashaud Perriman? Bashaud Perriman on his draft day. This man is 40 years old.
Yeah. That's how
Why
I
are you just getting here? Yeah. Yo, that's crazy. He's 25.
25 years old.
Against the rules.
You think so? Yeah. But he's a super senior.
Ah, wow. In my college, we had off campus. Well, it was school sponsored housing. It was right off campus though, for married couples.
What?
Yep. They used to call them the marriage houses. And if you were a student and you were married, this is where you lived at. It was the craziest
now,
thing in the world.
Were people getting married young back in your day?
No, I mean, they still got the marriage houses over there. Because we used to live in a house not too far from the marriage house. It wasn't nobody in our house married.
Better question. Were people that live in that house married now?
Boogie is. I think Blaze might be married.
Boogie and Blaze?
Yeah. Boogie is married. Nobody will ever marry Will. Will's crazy.
the guy with the normal name. Nobody's ever gonna marry him.
Will's this wild dude from Pittsburgh, right?
So Boogie and Blaze are married, but Corey and Will are not.
My boy Chuck is not married either. He had. I don't want to put his business out there. Chuck is not married either. No, I'm not going to say nothing.
So you got Boogie, you got Blaze. What was Corey's name? Did Corey have a cool name?
Huh?
You have a cool nickname?
Oh, Scoop.
Scoop.
Yeah.
So we got Boogie, Blaze, and Scoop.
It was Blaze living in the first room when you first came into the house. Right. And then
no girls got past Blaze.
No, Blaze had this girlfriend named Christy, right? Christy, this is wild. Christy was very scary, you know what I'm saying?
She was cray-cray?
Yeah, nah, Christy was crazy. Christy lived next door. Remember Susan Smith story?
I don't.
South Carolina lady drove her children into the river and then was like a black man took the car and kidnapped the kids. No. And then it came to find out she had drove the kids into the river herself.
Okay.
So that she lived right. It's been a Lifetime movie about this and all of that.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, huh? Susan Smith, I believe her name is Susan Smith. So it's like that was Blaze's girlfriend. She used to play on the softball team, right? She used to wild out. She would come over the house with a bat. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, Blaze, Christy coming. Blaze, like, hold up. You know what I'm saying? Then it was me. I lived across from Blaze. I was doing my thing. I was wild. And then Will was from Pittsburgh. Will was kind of a little bit. Will was
loose. A little touched?
Will was touched. Will was in a car accident, right?
Right.
When he was younger. And, like, he had to be taught, like, everything all over again. The car accident was that bad. I think he messed him up. And then Will was just a nut, a straight lunatic from Pittsburgh. Then my man Chuck from Long Island, shout out to Chuck. Chuck might be listening. He lived upstairs. He was another one, just loose, just ratchet. Chuck would just do all kind of things. I'm not even going to put, I don't want to talk about his business because you never know. And then, because he got a lot of secrets people don't know. And then,
Boogie.
And then Boogs lived up in the corner. Boogs was about his studies, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, he was about his studies. He was about his books, you know what I'm saying?
Why is he friends with you?
He was about his study. He was about his books. Boogie played ball. Boogie played high school basketball with Ray Allen.
Oh, wow.
They were
okay.
Teammates. Yeah, they were in the backcourt together. It was Boogie, Ray Allen, and a couple other cats.
They still friends, Boogie and Ray?
Yeah, Boogie and Ray. Every time, Boogie's always had, like, all-star games and finals and stuff like that because he's cool with Ray Allen.
He's probably not a Rajon Rondo's vacation either.
Though. No. Boogie won't be going. Boogie making that trip.
Man.
So there was Boogie, right? So that was the crew. So Boogie ended up, like you said, Boogie was about his books and stuff. He ended up getting married. He got, like, this mansion in Atlanta with, you know what I mean, with three kids. Boogie kids, like, they all involved with, like, piano lessons. And his son is, like, an all-star baseball player, whatever. He's young. And Boogie coach AAU basketball in Atlanta.
Still does or no?
He still does, yeah.
So Boogie, has he had any big-time players come through your program?
Remember, I was telling a story about Brandon Jacobs?
No.
That's the program where Brandon Jacobs, Boogie coached Rodney Harrison's son.
Okay.
That, you know, Football Night in America, former New England Patriot. Mm-hmm. And then Brandon Jacobs' son is, you know, they're part of the same organization. Brandon Jacobs don't play for Boogie. But the coach, Brandon Jacobs' son coach, had, like, reprimanded Brandon Jacobs' son, like, during the game one day.
Brandon Jacobs didn't like that.
And after the game, Brandon Jacobs was like, yo, you talk to my son like that again.
I'm
like, they
you.
Had to be physically restrained. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, it's crazy. You know what I mean?
So anyway,
shout out to Boogie, Tyrone Dawson. I go and call him by his real name.
All right. Hold on.
His wife is Priscilla.
Hey, you know what? And you know why he's so successful? Because he focused on his studies in college.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Boogie was always, like, we was running and playing and doing everything. And Boogie was like
hitting them books.
Boogie was hitting those books.
Yeah. There you go. That's why Boogie.
Boogie was from a small town. Like Boogie live. Like Boogie.
Oh, Boogie, but Boogie don't coach at AU anymore.
He's on a dirt road.
He's an assistant coach at North Carolina A&T baseball.
No, Boogie don't play.
Tyrone Dawson.
Yeah, it's a different Tyrone Dawson. A&T is our rival, so he would never do that.
Oh, but Boogie lives. Tyrone Dawson that coaches at.
I think Boogie worked his. He coached at AAU ball.
Is that Boogie?
That's not Tyrone Dawson. Tyrone Dawson, but that's not my
Boogie.
But
Dawson.
I'm gonna tell Boogie it's a dude that coached at A&T with the same name as him.
Yeah.
So Boogie, he was from a small town. Like he played basketball on a dirt road. You know what I'm saying? Like he was from a small town, dirt road, little house, whatever. And then he went to school, Hillcrest High School, with Ray Allen.
There you go. Hillcrest, what up? So there you go. Sumter,
South Carolina.
It's a story of fantasy executives' life, right there.
That was the White House. It was.
You were right. You were right, Greg.
Who was incorrect?
The fantasy executive was incorrect. Thank you for making that.
Yes. So anyway, moral of the story, go Gamecocks tonight, right?
Yeah, go Gamecocks. There you go. Boogie will be proud.
Let's win it for Boogie. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll move on from the tournament from Corey's fraternity life. And we'll go to Max next. So I just figured out the reason Matty Modica is so dressed up is because he got here like normal time before the show, and he just told me he's not coming home until midnight tonight. So now I understand he's dressed up because you got your draft. What time does your draft start?
The auction starts at 4 p.m.
So the show's over at 10? What the hell are you doing between 10 and 4?
Oh, I got to stop in. I do have to stop back home.
So you're going home.
Check on the puppies, feed them.
Clean your apartment a little bit?
No, that's not going to happen today. There's many other things on my mind than that.
Your wife, happy wife, happy life.
That's true. That's very true.
Your wife's out of town, right?
Yeah, she'll be taking the train home from Philly at about 5:30.
Oh, so she'll be back in town for the big weekend. Okay.
Now, as I described, Modica's wearing a nice sports coat here. He's got a blue Under Armour collared golf shirt under that. He told me before he's dressed for success. Got a big auction this afternoon, and he wants to dominate it. So now the obvious question is, Matt, do you always get dressed up for your drafts?
No. Sometimes I'll wear a jersey and stuff like that. I'll probably be rocking the blue little sweat jacket hoodie combo for the weekend. It's not going to be bad, though. It is starting to warm up. I noticed that last night as I was walking home. That frigid 2 days we suffered. Seems like that's a thing of the past. Spring is coming back.
Is it? I mean, I know tomorrow is supposed to be like 60.
That'd be nice.
Just the rain, though, right?
Oh, I don't want it.
I gotta look at the weather report.
Yeah, I think they did say like 70% chance of rain tomorrow.
Jeez, I'm supposed to spike tomorrow. You guys are all drafting.
Oh, yeah,
you guys are all drafting. I'm working out here.
You got spike ball tomorrow.
That's my goal, is to spike ball while you guys are all drafting.
Scott laughing.
All right, great. Yeah, Scott, you sit with other dudes drafting baseball players. I'm going to work out. Drops off newspapers on my chairs?
Yeah, he wants everybody to get a copy of that.
All right, well, why would he put it on chairs so people can't sit there?
I don't know, Greg. You I'm about to say you know him longer than I have, but that's not true.
It's falsity, actually.
Yep.
Sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah, no problem. I basically mental projection,
Okay.
So it's basically like the process, getting the mind ready and everything. And I don't know, I woke up this morning. I didn't even feel tired. I only had about 3 hours sleep, but ready to go.
Let me ask you this, Corey. Do you get dressed up for drafts?
Nah, I always want.
Okay, let me change the question before you answer. I'm sorry. Do you think specifically about what you're going to wear like that morning before the draft? Do you think of like, I got a draft today, I'm going to put this on?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. Because people probably be taking pictures, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I like to be in my zone, I like to have my swag. I wear many different baseball caps, but on a draft day, you'll normally see the symbol of excellence. The navy blue.
Roto Experts?
No, not that. Oh, okay. Not that symbol of excellence. The navy blue New York Yankee hat. You know what
I'm
saying?
The one you're
on right now? The one I have on right now. This is like big. When I have a big day, it's like Roto Experts hat. So is that Matt Deutsch right there?
No.
Oh, okay. Who is that? That dude looks familiar.
It's Vlad.
Oh,
it's
Vlad. Vlad. Tell Vlad to come in.
Vlad's coming on the program, 9 a.m. Eastern. He's joining us for the 9 o'clock
I'll
hour.
Tell him to come sit down.
Well, so you do think about it. Obviously, Matt, you do. You said you wore a jersey. You're looking nice today, so you think about it, too.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, last year, I think I wore my Chris Sale jersey one day.
But you think about it.
Oh, yeah. I had that mapped out for the 3 days. I had a Met jersey, Sale jersey.
So there you go. So I'm also like that. Like, on Wednesday, so I got a draft Sunday. I think I have a draft. Is this Sunday? I think it's this Sunday. This Sunday, then on Wednesday, and then the Saturday after that. So I got three drafts. I'm 100% going to think about what I'm wearing. Like, I previously, like, if I have a keeper league, maybe I'll have a jersey that, like, a player that I have on my team. I'll wear that. Maybe, like, I'll look a little bit nicer, like, I kind of like you are. It 100% crosses my mind. So the next obvious question is, do you wear, like, the lucky boxers?
There's some socks I have, to be honest with you. Okay. I have the fly green socks I'll put on sometimes. I kind of find them to be lucky.
Yeah. What about you, Corey? You
got the lucky.
You got the lucky Yankee hat.
The Yankee hat.
Hat of champions here.
The symbol of excellence, the interlocking NY, the navy blue and white interlocking NY. So that normally means that it's something big is going down. And then, you know, I either have my little draft day routines, whatever. I always try to get into a zone, like I tell you. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I'll be listening to, you know, some music in the headphones, whatever. I'll be pacing. Like, the last big draft I had, I was in I had Tout Wars, which was different. That was Helter Skelter. I wasn't ready for that. But, like, the last big draft I had at FFWC, I just was in the hotel room, just kind of pacing, you know what I'm saying? Getting in the zone, whatever.
Rocking, you know, some NWA? I find that to be
that's a good one. I never tried that. I was listening to DJ. When I was in Vegas for the big joint, I was listening to Khaled and Jay-Z, whatever. So I kind of had that. Then I started my approach to, like, you know, like, I'm getting off the team bus. I'm going into the tunnel. You know what I'm saying? I always think like this. It's like an imaginary camera crew following me into the actual draft room. You know what I'm saying? So the imaginary camera crew is following me into the draft room.
Right.
So
imaginary
camera crew. It's there, but it's in my head. You know, Greg, it doesn't make a difference if the camera crew is there or not.
Kind of does.
No, because if I think, yeah, your mind is very powerful, Greg.
I understand.
So in my mind, I have this camera crew following me. So to me, they're there.
But what if there was a real camera crew?
I'd be doing the same thing.
I don't think
it
would be.
No, for me, it is a real camera crew. So I make my way down to the venue, whatever. I like to normally be like the last guy to show.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because I want that mental edge. You know what I'm saying?
I don't agree with that.
I want that mental. I'm a fantasy executive, too. So when I come, people are like, oh, what's up? They want to take pictures and stuff like that.
I think it's more like when you show up, like, why the hell are you late? It's annoying.
That's,
like,
not true, Greg. It's not true. It's not like that. It's more like, oh, what's up? Hey, shaking hands. You know what I'm saying?
Sign some autographs, kiss some babies.
Yeah, but I haven't heard you for 2 years on the radio. And I'd be like, I know they hate, whatever the case may be.
But that's not the story anymore.
That was last year, yeah.
Now, this year, we like, are sick of hearing you on the radio. You host every damn show on the network.
So then they come, right? So I come down and I shake hands, you know what I mean? Then I just lock in, I get into my zone, and then I just I'm in draft mode. I like to, like I said, show up last. This way, then this way. It's kind of, I have like this I try to engulf and take over the table.
So
I want to be larger than life at the draft
table.
What
about you, Modiga?
I actually like to get there early.
Same.
I'll be one of the first people there. And, you know, it's also good to see people you haven't seen. You know, these are the times you get to say, hey, what's up with some guys that come in once, twice a year. So, I mean, I'll hang around and bullshit for like a half hour and stuff, and then I'll get into prep mode. You know.
So for me, I like to get there early because I want a good seat. I go on my seat.
Greg, it's just the tables will have. You got your seat is assigned.
Nah, it's not always.
No, not in your draft.
Sorry, I don't play in Tout Wars, bro.
Well, Greg, everything's not for everybody.
No, I play with my buddies, my friends.
And that's how I love it.
And I come to a room, and it's first come, first serve. You want the seat with the outlet. You want the seat near the food. You want to make the seat near the beer. Like,
I'm smart. I got to get there early, plug my crap in, and be like, all right, this is my seat. I'm good. And then I can walk around, you know, say, what up? Hello. Just kick the fantasy exec's ass. You know, how you doing?
Well, you can say fantasy exec, you're wrong.
You know, Mike Florio was telling me that fantasy exec was wrong earlier tonight. You know that?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe that to be true.
You don't believe the fantasy executive is wrong. Mike Florio, do you know if the fantasy executive was wrong?
You were right. You were right, Greg.
Who was incorrect?
The fantasy executive was incorrect.
Yeah, see, there we go. Fantasy executive was incorrect there. All right. Let's take a break.
2014 was a tough year for me.
2014
was probably why
it was 2 years ago.
That's probably
Right. Okay. That's why I didn't remember it.
That's probably why I didn't remember it. There was a lot going on in 20, especially this time of year.
I got you. All right. No problem. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We'll wrap up the hour. And then when we come back, and then 9 o'clock, Vlad will join us. RotoWire. We'll talk some baseball. Some real baseball with him. Maybe. I don't know. I can't promise that. He's Mike Lyons at the bottom of the hour. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues after this. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt Modica, Corey Parson, and Greg Sussman here hanging out. Tout Wars, of course, begins in just a few hours, as is the NFBC. We got the head-to-head auction tonight. Vlad's in the house. Jake Seeley be in the house today. I don't know what time he's going to get here.
I think Jake...
I know he's going to be here for the news desk live.
I think Jake will be here for On Target
He will be live on Target.
I think Jake will be live.
Yeah, he
on
said the other day he was coming straight in.
Will Joe Piscopo be in town for On Target today? In studio?
You know what? Joe Piscopo very well may be here for a live On Target
today. Live? Is that the first ever live in studio On Target here?
I think that might be going down
Holy
today.
Cow.
The award-winning.
Award-winning. Yeah, ring the bell. Award-winning On Target right there. So, yeah, that will come away.
Jake Seeley is the host of that.
He is. Award-winning Old School Fantasy?
Huh?
Soon to be award-winning Old School Fantasy Hour, too.
Well, we'll see what happens, you know. Yeah, you know, we still got some work to do.
Yeah.
We need somebody to chill with us today. I'm sending some text messages.
You send some text messages. Do the old booking thing.
God.
What's wrong with booking?
I'm past that.
The fantasy exec has graduated.
Hey, you know what I noticed? How come we don't have opening day DraftKings salaries yet? How come we don't have that yet? Doesn't it seem to be kind of late in the spring not to have that already?
Is it?
I think so, but I guess they got to have all the pitchers. You got to find out who's going to be starting and stuff.
They got an algorithm. They should know something, right? This stuff should be out already. I don't know. I'm tripping. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting. You promised us you would play DFS baseball, and it seems like
I'm going to be a beast.
All right. Well, we hope you win money there. For real.
I'm not going heavy like that.
No.
No. I'm not Benny.
Okay.
Not Benny. Benny does a good job.
Let me ask you a couple baseball notes. It's obviously a fun show. We got Tout Wars in the house. We have people here coming in and out. So not much time for, you know, the fun stuff here. But let me ask you this. Andrew Triggs versus Jarrell Cotton. Two guys you like from the A's, Modigo. Which one would you rather have?
I mean, I'd rather have Cotton, but you can get Triggs so much later, and he's a guy that I've targeted late in drafts. So I'm probably going to end up with Andrew Triggs as like a late round lottery pick. He's got the rotation spot down there, so I'm a fan of his. He started out as a reliever, got some starts last year, so I'm in with Triggs. The only thing that concerns me with Oakland, though, is besides not having a good lineup, is the defense is
terrible.
Yeah, it's like beyond terrible.
Corey, we talked about this a month or so ago. I'm going to ask you now, see if your opinion has changed. We'll ask Modica to chime in as well. Carlos Martinez, is he an SP1?
I think Carlos Martinez is the last SP1.
Is he so?
He's the bottom of the tier. So SP1.
Compared to a guy we were talking about yesterday, then Carlos Martinez or Masahiro Tanaka.
Masahiro Tanaka is the first SP2.
Okay, so they're back-to-back for
you. They're back-to-back. Is that correct, Modica?
They're close. I mean, I have to say, I'm very encouraged what Carlos Martinez is doing this spring.
And Tanaka, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, but I've had Tanaka ahead of Carlos Martinez.
Oh, really?
So I mean, they're like, say like 17, 8, 16, 17, you know.
But 16, 17 is a lot different than being 12, 13 for Corey Parson.
So, Matt, where do you have Tanaka at?
He just said 16, 17.
Okay.
I mean, I'll tell you, like, well, the guys I have, like, before him, I have Jacob DeGrom. I have Kyle Hendricks. I mean, Kyle Hendricks, to me, the guy's just smooth. He's not the, you know, elite strikeout guy, but what did you have this spring? 14 strikeouts, yeah. Zero walks. The command is off the charts. He's got a team that plays great defense. So I think he's more safer to me. And I know he pitched a 2.13 ERA last year, but I think he's more of the safer option. I can see C-Mart making that jump. You know, making that jump. This seems like the year. I was a little worried about the control, but the velo is popping.
Ugh, velo.
I love that. So, but see, here's the thing. You don't like Cole Hamels, do you?
I mean, I've loved him my whole fantasy career. But I think this is the year we see like that 4 ERA.
And you have Danny Duffy pretty high too, don't you?
I do like Duffy. I'm getting a little concerned. His, as we said, velocity is a little down, but it's still like, you know, it's still early. But I am a fan of Duffy.
Let me throw one more name in there quickly here. Tanaka or Jose Quintana?
I go Tanaka, but it's close.
Okay, there you go. When do we come back? The man that's going to take down Jake Seeley tonight joins the program. Vlad Zedler in the house. He joins the Roto Experts next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Matt Modica, fantasy executive Corey Parson, we are joined in hour number two by Vlad Sedler. Good morning, Vlad.
Hey, good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me, guys.
Nah, thanks for hanging out. I'm sorry, RotoWire's Vlad Sedler.
Nah, you're not RotoWire.
He's wearing a RotoWire jacket. I feel like.
I didn't know you was RotoWire.
Oh, yeah.
He's RotoWire.
Long time standing.
No. We got to hear you. Yeah. RotoGut on Twitter, right?
That's right.
How about that?
How about that? You were participating in Tout Wars tonight.
That's right.
And this, you were saying during the break, this is a first-timer?
First time. Very honored.
Oh, just like me.
First time.
Congratulations. Congratulations. We're in the fold.
Yep, straight to New York. Actually, haven't been here since I was 8 years old.
So really?
Wow!
30 years. I've been to Philadelphia, Boston, everywhere around, but have not landed on New York soil until last night.
And how long are you staying for?
I'll be here till Sunday.
Are you showing him around, you know, making sure he hits all the spots here?
We're gonna have some conversations. We are partnering a team next Friday in Vegas.
Okay.
And just remember, you have one job tonight: beat Jake Seeley.
it's kind of the goal.
I'm looking at the list of. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking at the roster. You got a couple of people on here I would like you to beat. To be honest with you, Jake Seeley, obviously, I beat him in the flex in the championship.
Yeah, he did. After Jake tried to cheat, that's okay.
Jeff Manns, I would love for you to beat Jeff Manns. Also, Howard Bender, Jeff Manns' buddy, I would like for you to take him down. Also, Paul Sporer. Can you make sure that Paul Sporer does not win this? Probably most importantly, that Paul Sporer does not win this.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a grind, obviously.
So politically correct.
Yeah.
Maybe you take the jacket off, loosen up. Yeah. You don't have to represent RotoWire. You just be a little, you know, whatever. Modica, it's his first time in New York in 30 years. You can't just take him to Foley's.
Well, I think he should be going to Central Park today. I mean, that's like one of my favorite spots in Manhattan.
Okay.
Did
you buy Hamilton tickets?
Screw Hamilton.
Yeah, it's tough.
Screw Hamilton. What are you, an Aaron Burr fan or what?
Nothing about the man Hamilton, but that play, I ain't paying that money for that.
It's a lot of money. You saw it. You liked it.
I did see it. I did like it a lot.
Everybody says it's amazing.
It is. I mean, yeah. You would love it, honestly, Corey.
I just can't. If David Taylor got the damn money.
David Taylor got my Hamilton money.
I sent him an email this morning. He probably resting or traveling. I think he said I should have kept in touch with him. Yeah, he got the damn money for my Hamilton tickets. So there you go right there.
Vlad, what's the strategy now? Like you said, your debut edition of Tout Wars, you were telling us during the break, NFBC, drafts, not really an auction, never really done many high-profile auctions, you were telling us. So what is the strategy tonight? What's the plan here?
So I don't want to completely give away
the exercise. Come on! We're listening to the three of us.
Yeah, but I will. You know, I've been prepping with all my rankings, you know, tweaking every position, every player. I got everything proper exactly where I want it right now going into tomorrow. I, you know the player pool backwards and forwards, have an idea where the numbers are. I'm really just going to flow with the draft. The one thing I'm going to do differently this year than I have in the past is instead of using software and pen and paper, I'm actually going to completely load everything into the software. Every single pick, and I'll see how far that goes for me, but
it's tough, bro.
Yeah.
Because I also purchased a draft app. Like, you know what I'm saying? The RotoWire one.
RotoWire.com.
Probably the same one you're using.
Heard of it.
Let me tell you something. When I was in Tout, like, I had the app rocking. And then after a while, like, I was like, you know what? Screw this. I went back to pen and paper. I got rid of the app. I just went pen and paper. You know what I'm saying? Because I think sometimes I like having the app, but I feel like I need somebody to hand, like, an app caddy.
Yeah.
Like, I need somebody to handle the app for me.
Intern.
So, yeah, exactly. So, let me know how that works for you, because I had trouble, you know, putting everything in the app. And mind you, I'm just doing a draft, so you got to apply dollar amounts and stuff like that, too. So, it's going to be interesting. You use the app when you do your NFBCs? You use the app for that?
No, I just have a rankings, pretty much tiered rankings. All right, all right. Got my players bolded, and I just kind of go off of that since it's a live event.
Yeah, so that's one thing I have to do this week, and I have to finalize my tiered rankings for myself. Bold. So I'm not a draft app guy either. I do my tier rankings. I bold the players I really want. Currently, I just have my list of guys that, like, taking like 10 to 20 and just bolded those, not just to fit in all the rankings. Now, Corey Neves are the guys, Vlad, that you're going to be facing off with tonight. Now, have you faced a lot of these guys previously?
Yeah, I'm usually do the FSTA draft where I partner
with
the Godfather Charlie Wiegert.
Yep.
So yeah, I've mixed it up with a lot of these guys. You know, obviously I do try my best to follow everybody in the industry, and so I'm sort of up to date. But I know I'm new and going to come in kind of humble, but I kind of consider myself a player.
He's still humble for us.
He's ready to represent. I got money on Vlad.
Now, the question is, do you actually have money on Vlad?
Not yet.
If somebody wants to do a side bet, I'm willing to go. You know,
you could probably trick Benda into something.
I think you're gonna say Benny. That's not nice.
No, I wouldn't. No. I don't have Benny's bankroll. That's the last person you want to bet is kind of Benny.
Why would I bet with Benny?
Yeah, don't.
We're on the same side.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Matt, you know, you brought Vlad in here today. You guys are partnering up in the NFBC draft next weekend in Vegas. Now, are you nervous about? I know it's an auction. So it is a little bit different, because now you're going out to get the players you want. Are the players in Vlad's pool tonight? Are any of those guys in your NFBC draft next week?
I don't know what he has for his pool tonight, but we did a draft online, an online championship NFBC draft, and that worked very well for us.
Because my question was, because it's an auction, like, obviously the NFBC in Vegas next week, he told us yesterday, it's a business trip, a lot of money's on the line. There's a lot at stake. And are you scared? Not scared, but, like, do you not want Vlad to give particular guys away? I mean, I know you've been doing this with us for months, and you've told us some of the guys you like. I brought up James Paxton earlier. But would you be nervous about, like, given how much money's on the line next week, of your partner giving some people away?
No, not at all. I think it's going to be fine. Like, I'm partnering this Sunday with Chris Vaccaro. We had a sit down the other night. We mapped out our things. We're actually in a league versus each other in a main event, which was unfortunate. We didn't want that to happen. But I'm totally confident. Vlad is a hell of a player. We'll have a strategy. He can call the names out. I'll be doing the AL auction before that. So, I mean, I got tons of shit going on this week. So.
Vlad, you play fantasy football too?
I do.
Okay.
Top 5 in the NFFC last year online.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's good.
No, that's good.
I like that. I like the multi-sport aspect of it. So, how you don't have a problem like partnering strategy wise? Are you, you know,
I find
a similar player?
I've done it, several times. Actually, 3 years ago, where I had about 7 NFBC teams, I had 4 different partners going.
And okay,
some of these guys were, you know, obviously, you know, Lindy Hinkleman, if you know him.
Hinkleman's a beast.
Yeah. So, is he still playing? Oh, he's still playing, still crushing.
He'll
be in Vegas next weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, but we kind of figure out your ebb and flow with each partner. You know, some guys a little bit more dominant, other guys are better at, you know, free agent bidding over the course of the season.
Sense, yeah.
So other people more on the draft side, you always figure out a way to work out. And with Matt and I mean, we really put a lot of our stuff out there on Twitter. Like,
yeah.
People know who we like,
yeah.
And that's the best part is we can still put that out there. They could draft those players and maybe snake us, but we'll grind the heck out of them during the season in Fab.
Well, it's really interesting because, like, we talked about the Vaccaro last week on the show. Vaccaro, when he co-hosts Modica, unlike you, he hides stuff from us. He does.
There's a lot of the guys in the NFBC, NFFC that don't want to give stuff out. They're going to play close to the vest. And I mean, I totally get that as well, but...
It's like, I'll bring somebody up, and I'll be like, oh yeah, I like him or don't like him, but he'll never bring a guy up. Like, he'll never do what you've done with Paxton over and over and over again, like, tell us that Paxton's, like, inside your top 20. He would have never done that.
Yeah, I mean, I figure, look, I'm going to be in so many different things that if somebody takes Paxton, I have other guys I want.
I'm not
too concerned about that. It's pretty amazing that I keep getting these number ones, but I will be picking from different slots. And, like, for next weekend, I might tweak that a little, maybe pick, like, towards the back end, change things up a little.
Now, Vlad,
you're going to be in Vegas, too?
Yeah, he's going to Vegas.
All right.
Now, Vlad, Jace Paxton's inside Modica's top 20. We know that. Who's a guy that's, like, inside, maybe a pitcher? I'll shut up and narrow it down. A pitcher that's inside your top 20 that probably isn't inside, let's say, Corey and mine.
Interesting. I've got Paxton, McCullers, depending on health, right there on the borderline of my top 20.
Okay.
And actually, I think Stroman is going somewhere around 160 overall. That's a good one.
Because Marcus Stroman is obviously lightning rod. Now, I think the arrow pointed way up after 2 nights ago, which probably pissed you off.
Absolutely.
And you're probably furious, you anti-American communist. But yeah, Marcus Stroman's a guy that's crazy because one game is going to have him shoot up draft boards now. That's for mainstream players. But is the same for experts? Like, is that one game going to have experts shooting him up drafts?
No, but what happens is some of these guys end up just becoming priced out. Like, they're just, you know, becomes a point. Like, if he's 160 overall right now, going in, you know, in 10th, 11th rounds, you know, if he gets pushed up a couple rounds, it's just, there's a point where it's not necessarily worth taking a guy from the AL East and who might be a little bit inconsistent, doesn't have the high K9 or, you know, the high strikeout
rate.
Worth taking.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's also Jose Quintana is, you know, just killing it this spring. He had like a perfect game going yesterday, 6 innings. So he's another guy that I think is going to continue to climb up as well. I mean, a guy I like, but if he gets too high up, like Vlad was saying, you're going to just have to go to the next guy.
It's obviously a good point. And there's nothing absolute in fantasy, no doubt about that. And like, you could always pivot away from, you talked about James Paxton a moment ago, of course, Marcus Stroman as well. Let's ask about a couple other players here that I wanted to talk about. And someone that came up was Wilson Contreras yesterday. And Wilson Contreras seems to be the starting catcher, of course, in Chicago. Miguel Montero is still there. Kyle Schwarber is the quote-unquote emergency catcher with the Cubs. Now, you have a big three of Buster Posey, Jonathan Lucroy, and it seems like Gary Sanchez. Where's Wilson Contreras fall for you?
He's next, but there's a nice little drop-off there, I would say, you know, of a few rounds. For the most part this season, you know, in all the NFBC onlines that I've done so far, I'm pretty much punting catcher. If I might be able to get a guy that, if I need batting average and he falls a couple of rounds, I'll take like a JT Realmuto, can offer a few stolen bases as well. For the most part, I'm not really jumping those early catchers if I don't have to. I like Wilson Contreras, but he'd really have to drop a little bit for me in order to take him.
Hey, that's understandable.
Yeah, I'm not that guy that's going to take a catcher in the top 100. I mean, I get the advantage if you have the catcher who is very good. But just look at Buster Posey last year. I mean, he's a great player, but he was pretty much injured the entire season. And it's just such a demanding position. Yasmani Grandal is one of the guys I'll look for later on. And if I have to wait, I really don't have a problem with a guy like Steven Vogt. But for the most part, I am pretty much with Vlad. I'm going to pretty much be punting the catching position.
What airline did you fly?
JetBlue.
Okay, that's the one I like
that's
to
like
use.
That's the greatest airline.
Go on across the country. I
incredible.
Think that's the best. Yeah.
I'm talking about Wilson Contreras, and you're asking what airline he just flew? What, are you trying to book your flights here?
No. I was curious how his flight to the city was.
You know what? If you want an honest answer, yeah. Literally one of the best flights I've ever had. Absolutely
really?
Everything went well, perfect.
They don't sponsor us.
Man.
No, but I'm just saying. I was just curious.
You yelled at me for talking about Buffalo Wild Wings yesterday.
I didn't yell at you. I've never yelled at you, Greg.
You
haven't yelled at you.
You haven't yelled at me. It's true. It's a good point.
The people upstairs do the yelling.
Yeah, that's who downstairs. I'm glad you had a wonderful flight.
Yes. No, that's important.
It's rare.
You know. Did you do any, like, do you have your cheat sheet? You do any studying on the plane, or did you just like get a nap or whatever?
No, I had my software open and just tweaking away. Jeff Erickson sitting behind me writing articles.
I was going to ask you, was any other touts on the flight with you?
Yeah, just Jeff and I.
Are y'all sharing a room?
A bed. No.
this is RotoWire's.
No, he's at a different hotel.
Oh, Erickson.
He stayed at the High Castle. You know.
I talked to Erickson earlier this week. You know, he's a Northwestern alum.
Yeah.
So he was in Salt Lake City for the games.
He was like a storming Mormon.
Yeah, exactly. He was in Salt Lake City for the games, whatever. And he said like they had like a little Northwestern bar, and they went to it. And I was thinking to myself, who the hell is going to be at this bar in Salt Lake City? So they had big Northwestern alumni, you know, same gathering. And guess what? Michael Wilbon was there.
That makes sense.
I don't know.
But what about Elaine Bettis? Was she there?
I bet Julie Louis Dreyfus could have been there. Sure. She was at the games. Yep. We know that.
I'm scared of Salt Lake City.
But I think it's like, why wouldn't Michael Wilbon be there? You know,
because it's Salt Lake City.
But that's where the games were. That's where Northwestern was playing. Why wouldn't he go to his team's
games?
Maybe
I'm not well traveled. I
bet you Darren Revelle was there too.
If I find out that my alma mater is playing in Salt Lake City, I will wait till they get to the next region.
No, you wouldn't.
I don't know nothing about Salt Lake City.
Oh, you know what's funny? Last time you waited for another weekend, guess what happened?
You're right. I didn't go. And Jared Cook happened.
And they didn't make the next weekend here.
Nope.
So there you go. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I got more players I want to talk to Vlad about, including his thoughts on Jake Lamb and whether or not Zach Greinke's 91-mile-per-hour fastball is good enough. We'll talk about that with Vlad. Is Mike Lyon coming up at the bottom of the hour? It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts hanging out here on a Friday. It's a fun Friday. You can feel it in the air. Vlad Sedler's joining us, rotowire.com. Fantasy Guru Elite. We just found out that our other buddy, of course, Benny Ricciardi, hosts On Target, also writes for Fantasy Guru Elite. You guys have never met?
No. First time.
First time, long time.
Yep.
That's exciting. He'll be here soon. Big On Target today, guys. I know Ron Chandler will be in the house for On Target. You don't want to miss that one. Lorne Michaels will be back here
for
On Target. Yep. So that'll be good. Peter Kreitzer in the house for On Target.
Yep.
Big show, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
One of my fellow touts arriving in town.
My fellow touts. I'm surprised you're not drinking champagne yet.
I'm in the fold.
You definitely can't drink a Coors Light today.
Oh, no, I'm drinking my beer.
Yeah, of course. You're too exquisite for us now.
Because Noah's talking about coming into the city tonight.
Noah's a character on our show, like with Boogie and Blaze.
I haven't talked to Blaze in years.
Why?
He's all right.
Blaze's
always been a quiet type kid.
Okay.
Blaze, you know what I'm saying? He's keep to himself.
How's Chuck doing?
Chuck is wild. Chuck don't keep this. So.
All right. Speaking of no transition here, Jake Lamb, big year, big time year last year, third base, of course, for Arizona, in a lineup every day. You don't have to worry. And this is one of the cooler things now about Arizona. We don't need to mix and match so much anymore. And I think Arizona, in general, is a very interesting team. With Jake Landau at third base, we have Owings at shortstop, we have Renjuri at second base. Like, that's it. Like, we know, and then, of course, Goldschmidt at first. Like, that's the infield. They're not losing their jobs. Yasmani Tomas, there's some optimism will be healthy for opening day. AJ Pollock, he should be ready for opening day. Like, okay, all the Arizona guys that made people feel like they were a sleeper team last year, they're here. They're kind of ready to go. And David Peralta, the other outfielder, I just named all their starters. They're all very interesting, Vlad, from a fantasy perspective. What do you think of these guys? I know I didn't really ask you a question of a specific player, but I think all of them are kind of going outside of Goldschmidt, no doubt. There's no, like, early round guys here, but I think there's all guys that kind of could produce pretty well for you.
Man, it's a phenomenal team, and that's one of the things I like to do is target offenses like that with, you know, fantastic park factors for hitting. You know, first of all, I was an early Jake Lamb adopter, so I had him on, I would say, all but one team last year, drafted in January, February, and March last year. And I think he's going to have a good season. I think Torey Lovullo, the new manager over there, is going to mix things around. I think he's going to be a little bit of a fantasy headache for people because he's got a history in the minor leagues of not running a lot of players. I think in 4 or 5 years there, he was a minor league manager, only Michael Brantley had stolen more than 20 bases on any of his teams. And, you know, he's going to mix the lineup up. He's going to have, you know, Brandon Drury and hitting second sometimes Lamb against righties. It's just going to be really interesting. We'll see how it goes. But A.J. Pollock, to me, is the really interesting guy. Matt and I drafted him a couple weeks ago in the third round. He is a guy that if he's going to run, I kind of feel like he's and he's healthy. He's one of those guys that's a third-round player in a first-round body.
But you kind of made the point that he's not going to run because Torey Lovullo doesn't have anybody running.
Yeah, I mean, some guys got to run. someone's got to run.
What about you, Matt, looking at Arizona?
Yeah, I agree. It's the park. It's a very good lineup. I mean, if A.J. Pollock is in there every day leading off, I'm excited. I got some A.J. Pollock shares. The other night, being that I'm quite invested already, I stayed back even though he fell, and I went with Polanco just to change things up a little. I seen a blurb where he's supposed to be some game action today, which would be very encouraging because, like Vlad said, he's a third-round guy but a first-round talent. And as far as Jake Lamb goes, he had that little hand injury in the second half. Has struggled against the left-handers, but Lamb is good for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Can Brandon Drury be a starting second baseman?
Yeah, I think so. I like Brandon Drury. He was a guy I picked up last year. I love the position eligibility, third base and outfield currently. He'll be the second baseman. And versus left-handers, he should get the chance to bat second, which is a nice feature. You know, behind Pollock and ahead of Goldschmidt is the
good spot to be in.
Yeah, that's a nice place to live.
Like I said, I'm in on Arizona. I think, like, basically, when I don't know who to pick, I'm probably just going to look at the Diamondbacks and be like, all right, this guy's the next best Diamondback. I'm going to wind up grabbing him. Speaking of Diamondbacks, Zach Greinke's velocity, pitched again yesterday, 90 to 91. Is that good enough?
I don't know. He'll find a way to make it work. I think for where he's going, he's just not a guy that I'm super interested in. I don't think I'm going to touch him in the range. You know, we're right around between, you know, Tanaka and Garrett Cole and Rich Hill and those guys. I just like a little bit of the value a little bit after. It's just that park, you know what I mean? If I'm going to take a chance on an Arizona guy, I'll wait 10, 12 rounds later and grab a guy like Robbie Ray.
Yeah, he slid down my boards with the velo concerns.
Velo!
And actually, last night what I was encouraged by was Felix Hernandez was looking pretty good. I think he was hitting 92, 93. But Greinke is, as I've mentioned in the past, he's very cerebral. He knows how to pitch. And it was somebody that I did want to own, but as Vlad just mentioned, I'd rather have Garrett Cole and the other guys in that area. So he's probably somebody that I was earlier on, but now I'm shying away from.
I got to ask about one more guy, Corey, that you guys brought up yesterday on the Fantasy News Desk. When I was trying to set up and be a producer here, you guys were taking shots. Not you, Corey.
Oh, it's just Shelby Miller. Your boy Shelby Miller. That's right. We made fun of you talking about Shelby Miller earlier in the year. What the hell is Greg talking about Shelby Miller for? Now Shelby Miller is in 15-team leagues. I don't know. It's still going to be tough, but it looks like he is going to be in the rotation.
Damn right he's going to be in the rotation. Is he going to be on any of your teams, Vlad?
I don't think so. There'll always be somebody that's going to like him just a little bit more, and I'm totally fine with it.
Damn you.
He's a guy that, like, if he's there the 30th round, maybe I roster him as, like, one of my last guys and just see. I mean, the strikeouts, there has been some. I mean, he's gotten Sheldon some appearances, but he has looked impressive in others. The Diamondbacks are going to start him. I mean, what's his name? Dave Stewart got fired over that. It was a total disaster, that trade, as we all know. And Shelby Miller has had success in the past. He's a I'm assuming he's a proud guy. So he might be a guy. Even if I don't draft him, he will be on a watch list to see what he's doing.
Yeah, I think at some point throughout the course of the season, he'll pop off the wire. Seems like one of those guys who'll be on the wire, come off the wire, be on the wire, come off the wire. So I'm not fooling with
you. Yeah, in 15-team leagues, there's nothing there. Yeah, so you have to go, you know. You got to scrape the bottom sometimes.
It's barren.
Tony asked me about this on the news desk. Tony Sincotta. Okay. Yeah, he asked me about this on the news desk a couple days ago. And I've actually had it in my notes really all week for you, Modica, and I haven't gotten a chance to ask you. Tyson Ross is quickly now on the way back. He's throwing already from thoracic outlet syndrome. Like, it's taken him. He's playing without a rib, Corey.
I know.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. But regenerates, don't worry.
Look, it's a skeleton over there.
Yes, I know.
You see that skeleton? Imagine that skeleton doesn't have a rib. That's Matt Harvey.
And Tyson Ross.
But Tyson Ross is growing back already, which is baffling. Vlad, did you notice?
No, I didn't know about the growing back.
The rib grows back.
No way.
I'm dead serious. Yes. The rib grows back.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
He's proud of himself.
No, this is amazing.
He's so proud of himself.
But he didn't know that either. Vlad didn't know that.
I know he didn't know that. He's my child.
Learning stuff on the show.
Hey, did you hear the rib grows back?
Greg, you didn't know the rib grew back.
I had no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of craving a McRib.
Makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it sounds great. All right, so I really want to talk about it, Modica, because Tyson Ross is on the way back, and he's throwing already. The goal is early May for Ross to be back. We're talking about, like, where are we drafting Ian Desmond? We've talked about where we draft David Dahl. We've talked about where we draft Tom Murphy. Jason Kipnis. Yeah, absolutely. David Price, right? Like, all these guys we've thrown out a million times over. We haven't thrown out Tyson Ross because I think we've all kind of assumed this isn't like until a July thing, and eventually he'll be on the waiver wire. You'll hear Roto-Wire in your case report saying that Tyson Ross will be back soon. But soon sounds a lot sooner than July or August. You're in the reserve rounds. Should we be drafting Tyson Ross?
Some people will do it. The problem is with the reserve rounds, I'm going to be trying to get some starters that have jobs right now. And I just don't want to hold a guy like Tyson Ross, who, when he was healthy back in the days of when he was a Padre, I was a big fan. I mean, he was doing some really good things. But I'm not going to wait till the middle of May to a guy that's coming off the surgery. I mean, I'm not touching Matt Harvey. And now he's pitching in Globe Life Stadium. So I will monitor him if somebody picks. Somebody's going to draft him, but they'll probably have to drop him at some point over the next month anyway because it's just too hard. The benches are too short. So if he gets dropped.
Why do you have a DL spot?
We have no DL spots.
What if you do?
If you do, I mean, it depends who the other guys are. I mean, you could throw them on there. If you have the DL, I could see why not. But I want to see him, you know. I just don't like the surgery. That's why I'm really not, like, on Matt Harvey, and I'm kind of down on that. He's got to pitch in a tougher environment.
Yeah, for me, I'd have to wait for the reports of the rib to grow fully back until I can.
Well done. I would like to know that as well.
Miguel Cabrera, unsure about opening day, and he's somebody that's always injury optimistic, plays through everything, plays a billion games a year. And now he's concerned with that back injury that he's going to be ready, Vlad.
I think it's a good buying opportunity. I hope it scares people off.
Okay.
I think he knows, you know, his own body. I don't think it's just going to all of a sudden fall apart and break down one day. He might miss a few days. And really what that means is instead of, you know, at the 15 teamers at the end of the first round, maybe you'll get him in the second round and get a little bit of a surprise. When it gets interesting is a Miggy versus Votto. You know, those type of questions, that type of scenario.
Because this one you're doing tonight is on base percentage too, right?
Oh, yeah. Got that loaded.
Yeah, so that's something, obviously. So that could be my opportunity for you tonight, Miguel Cabrera. Not giving away any strategy or players.
Yeah, quite possible. And I'm definitely gonna spend some money tonight. Definitely gonna throw out some dollars.
Vlad is smiling ear to ear at Miguel Cabrera. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. Hey, let's take a break. When we come back, is Mike Lyon? Did you know the defending champ is Vlad?
Jeff Zimmerman, no?
No, it's me. I'm the defending champion of this game.
No, and for the show that's coming up.
Okay. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
No,
not Towers. Of what we're playing right now, you know, Towers is the second fiddle to is Mike Lyon. I'm the champ. And I have you know what? I'd make a prediction, but I don't make predictions. I just give spoilers. Spoiler alert, I'm going to win again. It's Mike Lyon next. notes before we started his mic lying. Corey, you like this. So
what happened?
So Matt Barnes plays the Kings tonight.
Uh-oh. It's beef. You know Matt Barnes from Sacramento.
He is. Uh-huh. So his hometown team cut him.
Yeah.
Right? Quote, I want to kill them.
Good, good.
But when Matt Barnes says
it might
that,
be real.
It's not necessarily a metaphor.
Yeah, no. Matt Barnes may not be talking about, you know, killing them on the basketball
no,
court.
No. It's
everybody, every human being needs somebody like Matt Barnes on, like, is one of their homeboys.
You have Chuck.
No, Chuck. No. I got a couple of people like that. But Matt Barnes is somebody. Everybody needs a friend like Matt Barnes who's willing to, you know.
Die for you.
I wouldn't go that far. He's willing to beat up.
Kill for you.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't go that far either.
Everybody needs an enforcer.
He's willing to beat up your ex's new boyfriend. We can go get him. Like, all right.
That's for damn sure. Other note that we didn't get to on today's show, Corey. Jonathan Stewart has a 1-year contract extension with Carolina.
I hope it's pomp and circumstance.
I'm assuming it's reducing his cap number this year, extending it to next year type of thing.
Maybe that's what the case is, but that's a team where a running back needs to be drafted and you get one of the big running backs off the board like a Fournette or a Cook, they could be in a good spot in Carolina. So be interesting to see how that plays out over the course of the next month with the NFL draft. So that's where I stand at on that. But I don't want Cameron Artis Payne sucks. I don't want Jonathan Stewart blocking a nice, you know, a big nice running back piece if it's Christian McCaffrey or even if it's Joe Mixon. People are being in some of the workouts. People are starting to say that Joe Mixon is impressive, so he's going to be interesting.
That was never the problem.
It's going to be interesting.
He's got other issues, but
it's going to be a lot of talk about Joe Mixon after Tout Wars.
Yes, there's a lot over the next month. I agree with you.
There's going to be a lot of talk about
Joe Mixon. Trying to figure out where he goes. Let's bring up our producer, Michael Florio. Good morning, Mike.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Mike?
How are you?
Doing well, Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
You got the defending champ, Corey Parson, right?
Nope.
Yep.
Congrats. That's a falsity.
No. He's always the defending champ, even when he loses the week before.
Not today, he's not.
Pissapia came in the studio,
yeah,
and I'm starving.
Right.
I should text him and tell him to bring me something to eat on his way out.
What am I, a rare
boy? You work in a restaurant. You know that. No, there's food right there.
This place right here is arm and a leg. It is. I need Dr.
You
Roto
ain't getting
to come
no
down.
Eating,
yeah. Yeah, I know, right? I need Dr. Roto to come downstairs, and Dr. Roto got enough to pot spread for everybody.
Yeah, there you go. Mike Florio, please, Mike Lyon. We have a new participant, a first timer. Would you like to explain the rules, Mike, please?
So I read out a question. It's usually a sports stat. Could be, though, an Uber fact. Could be anything. You have to tell me if I'm lying or not. If you get it right, you get a point. At the end of the game, whoever has the most points wins.
Sounds good. Got it.
All right.
All right, you all ready? Oh, Greg.
You get to choose where I go. Thank you very much. And I will go, where do I want to go? I want to go third, please. So that means leading us off is you, Vlad.
Yep. Okay, Vlad, your first question. No active player had a higher hard hit rate than Freddie Freeman.
Last year, of course.
You're telling the truth. Outside of David Ortiz, so you're lying.
Is he lying?
Okay. He's lying.
But you said you gave the answer. So here's the thing, Vlad.
Well, do you believe that's the answer? Maybe Vlad's lying.
Oh, well, Vlad might do it in the poker face.
Can I get a repeat of that question, please?
You gotta have a poker face because you just like kind of gave the answer away. So like, with you being so sure on that?
Oh, maybe we should have explained everyone goes. Like, you just went first, but
yeah, but we're all gonna go.
Ooh,
so you were like bad. So good on that one that I was gonna. If you said it's lie, I'm like it's a lie because you sound like you knew what you was talking about.
Now hold on, was it? Read the question again.
No active player had a higher hard hit rate than Freddie Freeman.
True.
I'm going to go false.
Matt goes against the grain, and it does not work out.
No! There you go.
Vlad hit it on the head. Freddie Freeman was one, was second. David Ortiz was first, though. But active players, Freeman was one.
There you go right there. So that's how the game goes. So we all got 1 point except for Mandika.
Okay. Okay. Contrary, man, you know.
And sometimes if it's false, you get to guess who the player is with more or something to steal.
It's my wrinkle.
Yeah, no, so don't like say the people, the play, other players' names.
Yeah, I got it.
Right, yeah, you got it. We're good to go now.
He's a fast learner.
All right, number two, Corey is up first.
Yep, what's the deal? What's the deal, Florian?
According to Sporting News, of the over 18 million brackets submitted on ESPN, less than 30 correctly predicted the Sweet 16.
All right, over the 18 million brackets on ESPN, less than 30 correctly predicted the Sweet 16.
Yes.
That is true.
18 million, only less than 30 predicted the Sweet 16.
A lot of thinking faces on.
Yeah, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. I'll go false.
I'm going to go false as well.
I'm going to go false.
Corey's the only one that's a true.
Yeah.
He takes a 2-1 lead.
Wow. Yeah. Fantasy executives a
only
beast.
Only 18 people, according to Sporting News, had the Sweet 16 correct.
A lot.
All right, there you go. Corey, a 2-1 lead on all of us, except for Modigo, is nothing.
Lord, Rachel Dozell
was goose egg.
Why is Rachel Dozell trending today? That's last year's news. Go ahead.
Question number three, please.
Rachel Dozell is trending on Twitter.
Yes, it's crazy.
That is true.
Question number three. According to UberFacts, all astronauts must learn Russian. Greg is up first.
That's true.
I'm going to go true.
As a Russian, I'm going to say true.
That's interesting right there.
He was born in Italy.
I know, right? All right, so all astronauts must learn Russian. I'm going to say this is true.
Four truths, and you guys are correct.
Yeah,
they're like the International Space Station is like run by the Russians, or still by the Soviets, one of the two.
I don't know.
I don't know. I saw that. I thought it was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty positive with that one. That was an Uber fact I knew.
I heard the flight wasn't that long.
It was like taking JetBlue.
It's like taking JetBlue.
All right.
JetBlue goes to space.
Corey up one on Vlad and myself, up two on Modica. The next question is question number four, and it is Matty Mose.
According to Sporting News, Caleb Swanigan, did I say his name
you
correct,
did.
Greg?
That's correct.
Okay. Caleb Swanigan is the only major college player in the last 25 years with a 600, 400, 100 season. Do you need me to repeat that again? It's kind of a lot.
Yeah, yeah, this is a lot going
on. So we got to say what it is. What, 600 points?
600 points, 400 rebounds, 100 assists.
According to Sporting News, Caleb Swanigan is the only one to do that in the last 25 years, you said?
The only major college player in the last 25 years.
Okay.
I'm going to say true.
Vlad?
False. Thought I was going this way.
Good, that's right.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say false as well.
Take the field.
I think there's one more.
According to Sporting News, Matt Modica gets a point.
Wow. Wow.
Look at that. Matty Mo getting back in it.
Redemption.
Matty Mo picks up a point on all of us, and now we are all tied, except for Corey Parson, who is one ahead.
Let's go, Florio.
To question number five.
James Shields had the highest home run to fly ball ratio amongst all qualified starters.
Whose question is this?
This is Vlad's.
Okay.
I will say true.
Home run to fly ball ratio. None greater of qualified starters than Jimmy Shields.
Jimmy. I like that.
Like that one?
Formerly known as Big Game James.
Now he's just Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
Little Jimmy. How about that? How about that for you, Little Jimmy?
I like that.
No, I'm sure you do.
All right. This is true.
I know it was very high. Because I've looked into this. I don't know if he was number one or not. I'll go false.
That is false.
That's
Matt very confident. And he is correct.
Wow.
Which means Greg is correct.
We have a tie. 3 for Corey, 3 for Greg, 3 for Matt, 2 for Vlad. But 2 pitchers had higher than James Shields.
Vlad will give you an opportunity. Can you name one of the pitchers that had a higher fly ball home run? What was it, home run to fly ball
ratio? Home run to fly ball ratio.
Higher home run to fly ball ratio.
Man, among qualified.
Qualified starters, yeah.
Ah, I got to pass.
Jeez, you're giving you a free point. You pass, yeah.
I don't blame him. Matt Harvey.
One, I don't think he qualified, and two, no.
Oh, he didn't qualify.
For me.
When in doubt, guess Matt Harvey.
Ricky Nolasco?
That's a good guess,
no,
Greg.
It's not a bad guess, but no.
I'm going to say Michael Pineda.
Ooh, he was fifth on the list.
Wow! At least he got on the list. We'll go around one more time. There's two guys here. We'll go around one more time. Vlad, would you have a guess now? Or you can still pass if you prefer. Gonna need an answer here.
Craig, my bracket got destroyed last night.
Tell me about it.
bad guess, but Clay Buchholz.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're not sorry.
Let me see. Shelby Miller.
No, not a bad guess.
That's a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Wainwright.
Also not a bad guess, but no. Guess.
Between two guys. You know what? I'm going to go with the National League, Michael Pineda. Robbie Ray?
I thought about that, too.
No, not bad, though. He was 10th on the list.
I thought about Robbie Ray. Who was the other guy you were going to say?
Was it Stroman at all?
No.
Okay. What were the answers?
Number one, Jaime Garcia. And number two, a guy that a lot of people like this year, Francisco Liriano.
I knew Jaime Garcia, I remember. We talked about him a little while ago. All right, we'll take a break here. We have three of us are tied. The one person that doesn't host this show is not. We'll take a break. Come back. We'll wrap it up. We'll see if Vlad can come back on his Mike Lyon here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Final few minutes here. Roto Experts in the Morning of the week.
Music. This is that crazy 8-bit music they use on Target.
That it is. Good.
Yeah.
That is not 8-bit
no,
music.
No, that's not 8-bit music.
That wasn't 8-bit.
It's just, bad music.
Oh, okay. I thought that was...
That was a bad version of 8-bit music.
All right, it's Mike Lyon here. Modiga has three. I have three. Corey has three. Vlad has two. And we're going to the second half of the game. Corey, you're leading us off here.
Let's
question
rock and
number
roll.
Six.
Let's go, Florio. Throw me a good one.
According to Sporting News, South Carolina's 65 points in the second half was the most ever scored in a half against a Coach K team.
Oh, this is a tough one. This is a because Coach, you know, they've played against some high octane offense. Remember, Coach K team had a second half against the running Rebels. Remember that?
Sure, absolutely.
So that was
a lot of points.
That was a lot of points scored in that game too.
Talk the Shark.
Yep, Jerry Tarkanian, the whole team out there, Larry Johnson, everything. It's a great team, the UNLV Running Rebels. I'm going to say this is true, though. I'm going to give South Carolina the slight edge.
True.
It is true.
Vlad?
Did you check it on Twitter?
No. Okay. It's
the picture. Yeah, thanks for checking in, Vlad.
I gotta catch up to you guys, so I have to say false.
You just lost another point, because it's true.
It is true. And the crazy thing is, Coach K has coached 2,538 halves in his career.
But the funny thing about it is that running Rebel, that had to be a hell of a half, though.
That might have been next. I had no idea. I just knew that one was true, because I heard it. So we talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Florian.
Yeah.
Question number seven. Ender Inciarte led all hitters, qualified hitters, in soft hit rate.
Soft hit rate for Ender Inciarte. This is too much analytics.
That could be. It's interesting. There's another one that I looked into. Here, by the way, I just got a YouTube video of Floyd Mayweather dunking. Can you believe Floyd could dunk? Watch that.
I wouldn't guess that. He's pretty short.
Doesn't even look like Floyd. Just looks like someone in a Floyd hat. That's crazy, right?
That's not Floyd.
It's not Floyd.
God, he can't jump like that.
He can't jump like that.
It's a clip of game, man. This is the squad he rolled with, though.
He rolls with every squad. He's a neck game you're at. All right, I'll say it was false, by the way.
Okay, what was the... I'm going to say false.
False.
Ender Inciarte has the soft hit rate, the highest soft hit rate.
Yes.
That's true.
Corey goes against the grain, and it cost him.
Oh, son of a gun.
He was actually seventh, so there's a lot of hitters. A
lot of points available here. And I will begin because I obviously went first on that question. Soft hit rate. Who the hell had a soft hit rate last year? D. Gordon. Did he qualify?
I don't think so. He qualified, no.
Can I guess again because he didn't qualify?
You're the host.
Thanks, yeah. So I guess I can. His answer is yes. He didn't qualify, so I'll guess again. Billy Hamilton.
No.
Okay.
Jose Peraza. Well, he didn't qualify.
He didn't qualify either. So I guess again. That seems fair. I'll allow it.
Just take out all the people who didn't qualify first.
Yes, yes. That makes sense. I was just thinking of the Reds. I was going to say his...
Come on, Matty.
I got to pass.
Passing. Vlad.
Ben Revere.
Ben Revere, no.
No.
Oh, that was a good one, though.
That's a good guess, though.
David Wright.
He played like 10 games.
No, he didn't.
You got the cheese again.
My bad.
Oh, I think you knew he didn't qualify.
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to make fun of David. I wanted to make fun
he
of
actually,
David Wright.
Actually, if you lower it to his amount of games, it's one of the highest in hard hit rate.
Oh, look at that. There you go right there.
Would you like to guess
again? Let me get another shot at this one right here. Soft hit rate. Boy. I don't know this one right here. Soft hit rate. Let me go with, I feel like we talked about this on the show, Greg.
Yep.
Pablo Sandoval didn't qualify. Soft hit rate. So, thanks, Florio. I didn't ask Florio to editorialize it. Soft hit rate. Let's go with, Matt Holliday.
No.
Denard Span.
Not a bad guess, but he's not in the top six.
Okay.
James McCann.
No.
Vlad's getting help from Joe Pizzapia, am I right?
Oh, man. They threw me off because I had two guys in.
How do you think Joe's and it's wrong? I know you guys are right.
Jared Dyson?
No.
No!
Oh, that was a good one.
Corey, and that's his last time, and no points are given away here.
I don't know. I'm just throwing somebody out there. Didi Gregorius. He did good, though, so it wasn't him.
Florio?
Oh, you want the top six?
He said DD.
Oh, sorry. DD, no.
Okay, yeah, we knew that.
He was in the bottom of hard hit rate, though, but not in the top of soft.
Oh, all right.
All right, who was it?
Jason Hayward is number one.
Jason, I should have known that sucker, Jason Hayward.
Then Jose Iglesias, okay. Jonathan Scoop, Kevin Pillar, yeah, Greg's guy, Odubel Herrera.
Odubel, huh?
And Addison Russell.
Oh, yeah. All right. Really? So, Matt and I are in the lead here. Corey, one back. Vlad, like seven back or so.
Two.
All right, two, whatever. Mojiga, question number, what is this? Number eight.
All right, we got a couple more questions.
According to Uber Facts, there are only two escalators in the entire state of Wyoming.
So, according to Uber Facts, there are only two escalators in the entire state of Wyoming.
Yes.
I've never been.
I'm going to say true.
False for me.
Well, he lives closest to Wyoming.
False.
I think it's true.
This is crazy, but apparently this is true.
It's true.
It seems so crazy.
Too crazy. It has to be true.
Do you think people in Wyoming are like afraid of escalators?
There's just that many. There's not a lot of people in Wyoming.
There's got to be just one mall or something, right?
Yeah, it's probably in the mall. Let me get off my horse and hop on this damn elevator.
All right. Question number nine. According to Sporting News, Nebraska is the only Power 5 conference team without a tournament win.
What?
I'll say true.
Say that. Repeat that again.
Nebraska is the only Power 5 team to never have a win in the tournament. Never win a tournament game ever.
Cornhuskers.
Power 5 only, of course.
True.
This is false.
Let's see. I'm going to say true.
According to Sporting News, this is true.
There it is. Modica.
The other one was Northwestern, who
they
won
just
their,
won. Yeah.
I knew Northwestern. I thought there was somebody else other than Nebraska. I guess I was
Greg,
wrong.
You were so confident.
No, I wasn't. I had no idea. I just guessed.
You sounded so confident.
Well, that was my goal.
I was actually worried because I know you know so much college basketball. I was like, is Sporting News wrong?
Well, my goal was to be so confident that Modica would just say the same thing I did. Modica is up one on the final question here.
Well, how many am I behind?
You were back of Matt, two behind Greg, one.
Oh, my Lord. How about Vlad?
Vlad has four, so he's three back of Matt, two of you, one of Corey.
All right, here we go. Final question. Corey Parson, you're up.
No team had more stolen bases than the Cincinnati Reds.
No team had more stolen bases than the Cincinnati Reds. That's false.
False.
It's false.
He knows it.
Definitely false.
Yeah.
Darn it.
It is false.
Oh, the Milwaukee Brewers?
Oh, you are not up yet, sir. You are not up yet, sir.
I thought you all nailed it.
How many are ahead of them?
One.
And was it the Milwaukee Brewers?
It is the Milwaukee Brewers.
Son of a gun!
I knew it was the Milwaukee Brewers.
Give me that's BS. Give me another question. That's BS.
The Mets had the fewest stolen bases in the league.
Mets had the fewest stolen bases in the league.
So this is me. This is good. Me first. The Mets had the fewest stolen bases in the year. I'll say true.
Stealing money.
I'll
though.
Say true, Modica.
I will say false.
Vlad?
False.
Corey?
True.
It is false.
The winner and new is Mike Lyon champion.
Redemption.
Maddie Modica. Vlad, thank you for coming in today. Good luck tonight against Jake Seeley mainly. Have fun.
Thanks,
for Corey Parson and Matt Modica, I'm Greg Sussman. The OGs are next. Tower coverage all day. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday.